Amen. Are you at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24? Amen. You know, today we gather, all of us, those that are listening live, those who are here in the chapel, to celebrate the greatest calendar day of the history of the church. Amen. Jesus, again, he has risen. He is alive. Listen, he is seated at the right hand of God, and he has all power. He has all authority in heaven and upon this earth. Amen. And we are so blessed because we are children of the King. You know, when we think about Jesus, remember the road to the cross that we've been on, you that's been with us the last several weeks. We know that Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, the 16th chapter, I believe it was the 21st verse, he said, I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer these things and be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified. But on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. I have never met anyone making that kind of prediction, and it comes right to pass. Amen. And not only that, as we celebrate today, we know that the resurrection is the cornerstone, if you will, of our faith. It's the cornerstone of Christianity. We know that death and hell and Satan, the grave, are stripped of its power by the greatest single act in the history of the world. And that's when Jesus walked out of that grave. Amen. So with all that being said this morning, you know, no other world religion can make this statement that their founder is alive. Yes. Their graves, you can go to their graves today, all the different religions, but you'll not find an empty tomb. Like our Savior, there was an empty tomb, and Jesus is alive. And guess what? We are the only people on earth of any religion upon this planet that has ever been. The founder lives in his followers. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. What a glorious word that is. And we know that there's only one gospel. We know that there's only one way to be saved, and we know that there's only one name given unto heaven to men by which they must be saved, and that is the greatest name in the universe of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This morning, I know that Luke 24 is familiar to every believer, but did you know that is one of the greatest narratives and the longest narrative in the Bible? These two men that are on the road to Emmaus. And this, when we look at Luke 24, listen carefully now. This is the first Resurrection Sunday. And it wasn't celebrated like we celebrated, okay? It was totally different. But I want you to look this morning at this first Resurrection Sunday, beginning in verse 1. And I'm going to cover the first 12 verses quickly so we can get to our text. It says, now on the first day of the week. And what is the first day of the week? Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. In other words, to anoint Jesus. They weren't looking for a living Savior, were they? No, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men, we know those to be angels, and they stood by them in shining garments. And then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the ground, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Isn't that a great question? Yes. I mean, I'm not going to go out to Greenwood Cemetery looking for people that are alive. Amen? And that's what he's saying. And so that meant they did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead as he told them repeatedly that he would. And the angel said, well, he's not here. He's risen. And remember that he spake these things to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb, told these things to the 11 and to the rest, or into all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Now watch what happened. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. That word tales is only found here in the Greek in the New Testament. It means pure nonsense, or it's some kind, you're hysterical, you're running a fever, you don't know what you're saying, you're hallucinating, in other words. It was nonsense to them. And they did not believe them. I want you to take note that the first people to not believe the resurrection occurred were Jesus's apostles. Ooh, loved ones. But Peter arose, he ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. He departed, marveling to himself of what had happened. But an empty tomb doesn't necessarily produce any faith. Amen? That's right. Now, the Emmaus Road. Open your hearts. Listen carefully to the great narrative by Luke. He says, oh, and behold, this is Resurrection Sunday now. He says, behold, two disciples, they were traveling that same day. They're in Jerusalem. It's the first Resurrection Sunday. And they were traveling to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. They're on their way home. They're going back. These are two, as we will find, two sad, hopeless, completely discouraged disciples who actually had no reason to be discouraged because Jesus had risen. Amen? And so there they go on the Emmaus Road. And maybe this morning, maybe you're like them. Maybe your whole world has been turned upside down. Maybe life is not turning out the way you hoped it would or as you had planned. Maybe you might feel like these two people, these two disciples, that you're on a road and it's the saddest road that you've ever been on in your life. Well, I pray you don't leave that way. And it says, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. In other words, past tense. All of these things that had happened, they had to be talking about what happened in Jerusalem on Friday. Maybe they were talking about how Judas betrayed the Lord and Jesus was then arrested and then the kangaroo court that tried him and all of that, and then how Barnabas, who was a murderer, was released because the people cried out for Barabbas and not for Jesus. And maybe they were talking about all of a sudden the supernatural events that happened on Good Friday. And that was the day that, remember, that the darkness covered all of the earth from noon to 3 as Jesus was bearing the sin of the world. Amen? Can you imagine that day from noon to 3 p.m. when those events happened? And then Jesus, the last cry from the cross when he said, it is finished. Our sin debt is paid in full, the sin debt of the world. You know what happened? God shook the earth. God shook the earth, loved one. Not, listen, the veil of the temple, which was 90 feet wide and 90 feet tall, 30 feet wide, 18 inches thick. Josephus said 6 yoke of oxen could not pull it apart. It ripped from the top to the bottom, exposing the Holy of Holies. Remember, the veil is Jesus' flesh. Now you can come. The way to God is completely open because of Jesus. Amen? Oh, they saw all those things. And then you know what happened? Then there was that earthquake. And then the rocks started splitting in two. Hello? Man, I mean, I start thinking about that. And you're talking about a wild day on that Friday when Jesus died. Remember what happened? The graves, many bodies that were in the graves, they were open. The saints, not the unrighteous, the righteous. They came out of their graves, the ones that had died, and they just lay there in their bodies. Because see, Jesus, that's Friday. Jesus was the first fruits, amen, of the resurrection. And they lay there out of the grave. And then after Jesus' resurrection, they get up, they start walking around the city and talking to people. It's just a normal day. Are you following me? And I'm going, oh, Lord. But see, that was Friday. Now we're going to move to Sunday. We just read how the women came and they told them, listen, the tomb is empty. But these men that we're going to look at this morning, they're on the Emmaus Road. They're on their way home. They believe that Jesus is dead. And they're going back now to a life that they had before they met Jesus. Do you know on that Sunday, everyone believed Jesus dead? Pilate believed it. The Jews believed it. The disciples believed it. It was just the few women, oh, the women of the Bible, that came to the tomb. Amen. Now, and look what it says in verse 15. And so it was, these two discouraged disciples, it says, while they conversed and reasoned. That means literally, if we could read it in the original language, it means they were completely, totally absorbed in this discussion or this debate. And it was a heated debate, if you would. And they couldn't understand what the events that had happened on Good Friday and why Jesus was dead. But he wasn't dead, but they thought him dead. And look what happens. They didn't even realize they were so hurt. It says that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They didn't even realize that God, the God-man, was walking with them. Do you know that the God-man walked with us in here this morning and that he is here with us even right now? Amen. Because, see, he is alive. He has risen from the dead. Oh, and he loves us. We are his children. And look what happens now. You know, he says, and Jesus himself, he drew near and went with them. Now, what day was that? Sunday. Did you know that Jesus likes to meet with his people on Sunday? It's my only joke. It didn't work. I won't use it in the second service, okay? But their eyes, verse 16, watch this, their eyes were restrained. So they did not know him. They did not recognize him. Their eyes were restrained supernaturally. And they were prevented from understanding and really knowing the Lord there. You know that our eyes, did you know that our eyes are restrained right now? Oh, yeah. They're supernaturally restrained. What do I mean? I mean, did you know that there's a multitude of God's angels here right now that they're with you? They're with me. They're alongside of us. They're here. They encamp around the righteous. Do you see them? No, I don't see them, but I do see them. You know how? The eye of faith. I know they're here. Does that make sense? But our eyes are prevented, you know, and really when you think about it, their ears must be restrained as well because they didn't even recognize his voice. Remember, then that happened throughout the Bible. Remember when Mary was in the garden and there she was at the tomb and she said, oh, where have you taken my Lord? Just tell me where he is and I will go and get him. And she turned and there was a man standing there. She assumed him to be a gardener and it was Jesus. And he said, woman, why thou weepest? And she said, oh, where have you taken my Lord? Just tell me. I'll fetch him, you know. I want to say, you must be really working out, honey. I mean, but you know what I'm saying. And then what did Jesus do? Mary. Immediately she knew it was the Lord. Do you see what I mean? You know, there's something about a voice, isn't it? You know, I remember years ago when my son was just a little boy, we were at a big family gathering in this huge, gigantic apartment complex. And there was one of his aunts, I will not mention her name, was supposed to be watching him because he was just, you know, little. And she did not watch him. And guess what he did? He left. And I'm talking about, this was a massive, unbelievably huge apartment complex. And when I realized he was gone, I ran out there and there were voices everywhere because there were so many people outside. It was like a holiday time or something. And I could not see him. I could not find him. And then all of a sudden as I was screaming, and then I heard way far off, Daddy! Oh, in the midst of all those voices, I recognized his. Why? Just like Mary. Just like Jesus, when Jesus said, oh, Mary. And she says, oh, Lord. Then she runs over to him and says, Mary, don't cling to me. Go tell the disciples. I'll meet them in Galilee. Oh, loved one, listen. You know, in a minute, their eyes are going to be opened. And I tell you, I hope that the church today in this 21st century, that our eyes are open to the things of God and the things that God is doing. And he said unto them in verse 17, watch this, as he went, he's right there with them, and he goes, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are what? You're sad. Let me give you a Greek translation from Wiest. He says this. He says, what? He translates it, what are these words? Which you are tossing to and fro, one to another, oh, in this animated, in this heated conversation as you're walking. And they came to a standstill, gloomy countenanced. What a great translation. Listen to me. The risen Savior, he's created all things. He sustains all things. Does he know all things? And he asked a question. Did Jesus really need to ask that question? No, he knows everything, but he asked that question to them. Why are you sad? I'm going to tell you something. On this Resurrection Sunday, there needs to be something happening in our nation and in our land and in our hearts and in the church. Amen? Because we live in a sad, sad world and a sad nation. Jesus said, why are you sad? What a word, what a today word for all of mankind. America is sad. I look today at the mass shootings. Oh, dear Lord, teens killing teens. And for some reason, you know it, let's be honest, in our hearts, we have become numb in our hearts. We hear it so much. I mean, the subway shootings just the other day there in New York. And then just yesterday there in Pittsburgh, 13 people shot. You know, it doesn't make sense anymore. Two of them are dead. And then yesterday in the mall in South Carolina, 12 people shot. It's a sad world, isn't it? What kind of conversation are we having? You know, we look at what's going on here with the COVID that's, praise the Lord, passing, we pray. And then, you know, we've got all the, maybe on the brink of war. I even read yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago, where the little girl, just a little girl, walks over to be with the Easter Bunny, and somebody shoots the little girl. Why didn't they shoot the Easter Bunny? But it's a true story. That's a true story, loved one. And I'm going, dear God, what kind of world is this? Do you know that right today, 207 Americans die from opioid overdoses in our nation every day? And not only that, 48% of adults 18 to 25, they are anxious and depressed, the latest poll shows. This one just released yesterday, 2 days ago. The CDC said 44% of American high school students say they are persistently sad and hopeless, the highest level of teenage sadness ever recorded in America. It says that each day in America, 3,700 teenagers, or ages from 9 to 12, attempt suicide. You say, Bill, this is Resurrection Sunday. Yes, it is. I'm talking about two disciples that were discouraged. They'd given up because they didn't believe Jesus was alive. They'd lost all their hope. Do you understand? And here we are in this nation, and if we look at those things, you can definitely start losing hope. Did you know that? And not only that, we look out here in the rage that is happening all over the world and even in our own nation. You know what rage is? Rage in this generation is the belief that you have entitlement. You cut me off. You cut me off in the grocery store line or in the whatever. And they believe they're entitled. That's where this rage is coming from right now. They don't get what they want and they go crazy. And that's our world. And our world is filled with sad people and hurting people. And yes, our nation has changed. And yes, the world has changed. But I want you to listen to me today. We don't need to be hopeless because Jesus Christ has not changed. Amen. He is not only alive, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what he's doing? He's come alongside these two sad, hopeless disciples outside of the city of Jerusalem to do one thing, to make himself known to them. Do you know that Jesus wants to do that to every person? To make himself known. Oh, what love is this? On the day that he rose from the dead, he left Jerusalem. He's walking 7 miles with these two disciples to their home. And he's right there with him. And he wants to do one thing. He's waiting to reveal himself to them. And I'm going to tell you something. Whether you're listening live on the radio or you're here right now and you don't know Christ, I want you to listen to me. Loved one, listen. The Holy Spirit has been walking with you every day of your life, and He has wanted every day of your life, if you don't know Jesus, to make Jesus real to you. That's what it's all about. And He says, and Jesus said unto them, well, what kind of conversation is this that you both having? You're having with one another in your walk, you're sad. And then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger or outsider or foreigner in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened here, there, rather, meaning Jerusalem, in these days? And Jesus said to them, well, what things? you got to love the Lord. You know what I mean? You know, don't you know that Jesus has humor? He has humor. Man, listen, he laughs. He probably had to just hold a chuckle. Do you understand? He says, what things, you know, and so forth. And so they said to Jesus, they go, and they didn't know it was the Lord. And he goes, well, you know, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And watch the past tense, who was a mighty prophet, or a prophet mighty. He was in deed and in word before, or literally in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. Yes, he did. But for you and for me in the world, amen. And they crucified him. Jesus took your place and he took my place. You know what I love about the Lord? Listen, there he is with these two men. He is the risen Savior. He has not yet ascended to the Father. And he is so full of incredible love. He gives Cleophas the opportunity to just pour out his heart. And Jesus knows the truth better than anybody. Amen? And he just sits there and says, okay, who was a mighty prophet? Yeah. He all the things that he did, but he's dead. See, he's speaking in the past tense. He says, oh, yeah, he was mighty indeed. Boy, we watched him heal the lame and raise the dead and the blind and all of that. But, you know, he died on the cross. And he was mighty in word. Oh, to listen to him preach. No man ever spake as Jesus did, the Bible says. But then we get to the crux of all of it. But we were what? If you read that in the Greek, it would literally be, it would sound like this. They were, that's past tense. So it's past tense meaning they have absolutely no hope in their heart, no hope in their mind. They are totally, both of them, completely hopeless. All hope is gone from them. But we were, past tense, hoping that it was past tense. He who was going to redeem Israel, in other words, when they say redeem Israel, they were talking about redeeming Israel from Rome, not the redemption that we have in Christ, amen? That's not what they didn't understand. And he says, oh, and besides all this, guess what? Today's the third day since these things have happened. It's just too late. We were hoping. We trusted in him. We believed in him. But he's dead. And listen to these words. We're going home. We're going home. We're going back home to life like it used to be. And they were hopeless. Is that you? I hope not. You know, you might be saying, you know, well, I was hoping. I really thought that 2022, man, was going to be my year. You know, and the COVID and the inflation, and I just trying to get my life back. Some of you might even be saying, you know what, I left California and I moved here to this place called the Promised Land, called Texas. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I was hoping for a new start, a new beginning for my marriage, a new beginning for my children. I have a new home now and a new job and a new church and a new young handsome pastor. I added that, okay? And new friends. But life hasn't turned out the way I thought it was, just like these two disciples. And yes, and certain women of our company, they arrived at the tomb early. They astonished us when they did not find his body. And they came saying, oh, I've seen a vision of angels. And they said, he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him, Jesus, they did not see. Now listen, you know that these two disciples, they knew the Lord. Amen. Did they believe in Jesus? Did they still love Jesus? Yes. Was their love for him destroyed? No. It was their hope in him that was destroyed. Let me tell you something. Human hope is a fragile thing. And Good Friday still filled their hearts. And they were saying to Jesus, not knowing who he was, it's too late. It's too late. We were hoping, but you know, he's dead, he's buried, and we are going home. We're going to the Emmaus Road. We're going back home. And you know why? They were hopeless. They saw failure in the cross on Good Friday. They saw failure in the cross. Did you know, listen, according to Barna, the latest poll, 92% of Americans believe Jesus was a real person. Yet, 56% of them, they don't believe that Jesus was God. And 52% believe that Jesus was not sinless. They believe that Jesus actually sinned. And most of them don't really believe, oh, they do the cross, but not the resurrection. And you know why? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message, meaning the gospel of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. You know, people today, it's such a frivolous, pathetic argument, really. They don't know that because they're not born again. And they go, you're trying to tell me, you witness to people, and you go, you're trying to tell me 2,000 years ago, there was in this insignificant little nation, you're trying to tell me that there was a Savior was born of a virgin, and or the virgin, actually, and that, hello, and that if I don't put my trust in him, and if mankind doesn't put my trust and believe in him, that my eternal destiny is actually challenged? Well, I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I'm a good person. No, that's foolishness. It's a dreadful thing to be foolish. That's why Jesus said in verse 25, he said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe, and here comes a key word, in all, that's a little word but a key word, in all that the prophets have spoken. He says to believe in that, believe in the scriptures. He said, ought not, or wasn't it necessary for Christ, meaning the Messiah, to have suffered these things, meaning on Friday, and entered into his glory? And I want you to look at that now. Did Jesus say slow of mind? No, it wasn't a mental issue. It's a heart issue. He said, you're slow of heart. Even the Bible says that we believe, man is saved how? We believe with the heart. We confess with the mouth. Oh, listen, Jesus rebukes them for one thing and one thing only. Not because they're leaving Jerusalem and going to Emmaus. Not because they debated all the way there and their hearts are broken and they're hopeless. Jesus condemned them or rebuked them for only one thing. In other words, you should have known what the Word of God says and you should have believed the Scriptures. Amen? Oh, listen, Bible knowledge. Oh, how we need to have and understand our Bible. Listen, we have not because we read not. Amen? And that's important. Let the church of Christ, the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood, let us, loved one, never be spiritually slow of heart to believe the Word of God, which is alive, amen? Which comes alive when it's preached. And when you read it, it's unbelievable. Listen, faith in the resurrection does not come from seeing an empty tomb. It comes from believing the Word of God, amen? From believing the Word of God. There's not any amount of evidence that convince an unbelieving heart. It doesn't work that way. See, belief is not a matter of evidence. It's a matter of faith. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen? Yes, it's the substance. Here's the word of God right here. How do I know that there's a heaven? The Bible tells me. I believe it. Amen? Man, listen, we can trust the living word of God. Well, if I saw a miracle, oh, you'd believe. No, you wouldn't. Go study the Bible. How many people saw miracles and yet did not believe? Even when Lazarus was raised from the dead, what did the Jews, the religious people, want to do to Lazarus? They wanted to kill him. Now, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, look what Jesus did. He expounded, he explained to them in not a few, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. I'm going to tell you something. The road to Emmaus is the most profitable road in all of the world on that day. The resurrected Lord is getting ready to give them the greatest Bible study that they have ever had. All the scriptures concerning himself. In other words, the Bible, loved one, as we all know, is full of supernatural truths, supernatural facts. Amen? Oh, yes, about Jesus. Did you know Genesis to Revelation? It's all about Jesus. Every page of the Bible really is about Jesus. Jesus told the Jews that didn't believe in him, he said this. He said in John 5:39, he says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And listen to what Jesus says. These, meaning the scriptures, they are they that bear witness about me. It's all about me. So you will know me. And if you kept reading in John's gospel, he would say, "But you're not willing to come to me that you might have life." How? You know, we have no clue, and we're not told. And there's a reason why we're not told this incredible Bible study that Jesus had on the road to Emmaus with these two disciples. Amen? We don't know where he started, but he started and said he began with Moses. Did he go all the way back to maybe in Genesis that, you know, that he is the seed of woman? You remember? Is that what he did? Or did he go into Exodus and start to listen and talk about the Passover and that he was the Passover lamb and the blood that they put on the lintel of the doorpost? Did he go into Exodus and say, "Listen, you know, again, I'm the rock that followed the Jews in the wilderness. I'm the manna from heaven. Are you following me?" I mean, he's the bread of life. How did he do all that? Did he go through Leviticus, which most people are afraid to even read today? And the five offerings, the burnt sacrifice, the peace offering, the trespass offering, the sin offering, all of the sacrifice. Did he say, "That's me. That's me"? Did he go into the Psalms and did he read to them where it says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That was the cry of Christ from the cross. In Psalm 22:16, did he read this? "Oh, they pierced my hands and my feet. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they gambled," or they cast lots. Did he take them to the prophet Isaiah? And we're in 50, verse 6, it says, "And I gave my back," or "I willingly gave my back to those who struck me." That was the scourging. And he says, "Oh, and my cheeks, those who plucked out my beard," written 800 years before the crucifixion. And he says, "They plucked out my beard. I didn't hide my face from shame, nor their spitting." Remember the Roman soldiers that spit upon the Lord Jesus. Did he take him to Zechariah 9:9, the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem on the donkey? Remember, to the exact people, the exact animal, on the exact day, and only one person, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Did he take him into Zechariah 11:12-13 about Judas, the betrayer, who would betray him, a friend, with 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave? And then it says in verse 28, "And then they drew near to the village where they were going." I love this scripture. And Jesus indicated that he would have gone farther. What does that mean? He was acting. He was pretending. I can't stay here. I'm sorry. I have to keep going. I've got a lot that I have to do. And look what they did. But they what? They constrained him. You know how powerful that word is? Do you know how strong that word is in the Greek? It is the same word that is akin to the same word that is used in our word for revolution here. In other words, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And the violent take it by force. They seize it as their own because they love Jesus, because we're part of the kingdom. They constrained him. Man, it was, they just don't leave. And look what they said. Abide with us. Oh, please stay here. For it was toward evening, and the day is what? It's far spent. The night, it's nearly nighttime. And he went in to stay with them. And this is the first resurrection Sunday evening. Why did they constrain him? They just had the greatest Bible study in the world. And hope had filled their heart. Love had filled their heart. Faith had filled their heart. Amen? As Jesus expounded the scriptures to him. Listen, why? Jesus comes to all of us to make himself known. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief cometh to kill, steal, and destroy, meaning the devil. Oh, listen. And now it came to pass as Jesus, look what he did. He sat or reclined at the table with them. He took bread and he blessed it. In other words, he gave thanks for it. He broke it. And then he gave it to them. Jesus is now not a guest, is he? He's a host. It's interesting that it almost sounds like the Lord's Supper, doesn't it? And so why was Jesus doing that? At night, the sun is setting, it's dark, they still don't know who he is. And I know if I see him looking at them, loving them, and he knows that they saw failure in the cross. And he says, you know what? Maybe, if I break a little bread, it will remind you to do this in remembrance of me. And that's exactly what I believe happened here. Take, eat, this is my body that is broken for you, so you will never have to be broken in your life. And I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. And then look what happened. And then suddenly, watch this. Their lives are getting ready to be changed forever and ever. He says, and oh, their eyes were what? Opened. Oh, and they what? They knew him. They said, and they recognized him. And then he said, hello, boys. No. He what? He vanished. He was invisible from their sight. Now, listen to me. That does not mean that Jesus left them. It means that they could not see him. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. Jesus didn't leave them. He hasn't left us. He's here even now with us. Why didn't Jesus just say, hey, boys, look, it's me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at my side. Come on, guys. I'm Jesus. Why didn't he do that? They knew him. They recognized him. They knew he was not dead, and he vanished. Why? We must understand this very carefully. By not revealing himself to them until after he explained the scriptures, that left for you and for me a tremendous truth, which is this: I don't see my Lord, but I believe the word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Listen, the resurrection means that we have the continual, ongoing presence of Jesus with us all the days of our life. And even at the moment of death, he comes for us. Precious, precious in the eyes of God. He's there. He sees. Precious in the eyes of God is the death of his saints. I haven't seen the Lord, but I know I love him. I know he's real. He's changed my life. He's changed your lives. The Bible tells us, Peter says in Peter 1:8, oh, whom having not seen, you haven't seen the Lord, but you love him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, that's why I see him, believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. Jesus telling Thomas, when Thomas didn't believe in John 20, 29, Jesus said, Thomas, oh, listen, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Listen to me. Whenever you invite Jesus into your home, into your heart, whenever you invite Jesus into the presence of his people like we have this morning, let me tell you something. It becomes a place of revelation because their eyes were opened and they said in verse 32, oh, to one another, oh, listen, we have heartburn, holy heartburn, amen? He says, listen, did our heart not burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? You see, the word of God is living. It's powerful. It's active. It's more powerful than any two-edged sword. Oh, listen. And he says, look at the impact of the resurrection quickly. Oh, they rose up that very hour, not tomorrow. This is night. They and listen, he said, man, and they what did they do? They returned to Jerusalem. They went 7 miles back and they just got there. And they found the 11 and those who were gathered together saying, oh, listen, the Lord is risen indeed. It appeared to Simon and they told them about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now listen, their heart was not burning as they talked to Jesus. Their heart was on fire when Jesus talked to them. Whenever you open the word of God, God is talking to you. This is the word of God that comes from heaven. It didn't come from this planet. It came from, it's just inspired by God. Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. The disciples saw the risen Savior. They went from Rome to Jerusalem to uttermost parts of the world, and they spread the gospel everywhere. Thousands, they turned their world upside down, amen? It was the greatest, loved one, listen, it was the greatest, that created the greatest revolution in the history of mankind, the gospel, when Jesus rose from the dead. You know, may I tell you that Jesus didn't come to start a religion? No, but a revolution. That's why he came. Do you know that today that time is short? And do you know that today the time is dark? You know, I want you to look back with me just one last time, please. And look at verse 29. These two disciples, it says, they constrained him. Please don't leave. You have to stay with us. You have to stay. And look at these words. Abide with us. And look why. Well, it's toward evening in the day. Oh, it's far, far spent. And he went in to stay with them. That is a living word of God. He says, they say, Jesus, abide with me. It means, would you just stay with me? And you know what? I think about all that God is doing. I say, yes, Lord, the day is far spent. The night is far fast approaching. Church is toward evening right now on this Resurrection Sunday. When I was a little boy on the farm, my grandmother, who raised me as a young boy, man, I'd go out there in the field barefooted. And I loved being on the farm back then. I mean, I was like, oh, you know. And when it's time to come home, I remember my grandmother calling me in the evening saying, Billy, Billy, it's getting dark. I want you to come home before dark. Our God is calling those who don't know him. He says, listen, you need to come home before dark, for there is a night coming when no one can work. Jesus would say to those who don't know the Lord, don't know him, he would say, come home now. You need to come home because you live in a dark world and it's getting darker. In heaven, there'll be no more darkness there. Oh, to come home before dark, to come home while the day of grace is still yours. What a tragic scripture about Judas who betrayed the Lord. It says, Judas went out of the upper room, remember? And it was night. I tell you what I found in Christ. He'll give you a new hope. He will give you a new day. He will give you a new beginning. And Jesus is alive. And if you don't know him, listen to me now. He wants to be detained by you. Can you believe what a great Savior? But here's the problem. He won't force himself on you. He won't do that. You see, you have a choice. I mean, if you want him to go with you, boy, he will go with you. And if you want him to go away from you, he'll say, okay. If you accept him, he says, oh, come on. If you reject him, he says, that's your choice. He doesn't force himself upon you. See, Jesus is here now to make himself known. And you know what? This is a church and we are all revolutionaries. We are on a forced march to our homeland. And I'm asking you, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, here's what I'm asking you. No, God is. Would you come home before dark? And you might say, well, I don't know the way home. I do. Amen. I know the way home. Let me give it to you. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. The broad way leads to destruction, meaning hell. And he says, and many go in there by it. Why? It's just broad. It's so big. Any lifestyle, just come on in. It doesn't matter who you are, just come on in. But the fact of the matter is, when you find out, it gets more restricted and more restricted. And guess what? It only leads to one place. Oh, the broad way, it'll let you try everything, do everything, drink everything, sex with anything, whatever, doesn't matter. And then it gets worse, though, because you're not fulfilled and you remain hopeless in your life. And he says, oh, but narrow is the way. It's difficult. The way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. The few. Why? It's too narrow. But what you don't understand is that, yes, it's narrow. Yes, it's restrictive. But the more you travel with Jesus, the broader it gets. The more life. In that you live the adventure. Oh, listen. Jesus is the only way. And it's the only road you can be on is the narrow way, well, or the broad way. You know, listen, Jesus said you must be born again. And here's all I'm going to ask you. Would you come home now? Would you come home before dark? Would you do it today as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed? And I want everyone to pray with me right now. Just if you don't know Christ, I just want you to, you don't have to lift your hand right now. No. You don't even have to come to this altar. But if you have never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, or maybe you don't even know if you're saved or not, or maybe you are just so lost and you don't know what to do, hopeless and discouraged, I want everyone, I want the church, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Father, I want to come home before dark. I hear you calling. And I want to detain you. I want you to abide with me. I want you to come in my heart. right now. So I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. You promised if I would confess Jesus my Lord and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Every head bowed, no one looking around, every believer praying. Don't get out of your chair. But if you prayed that prayer and you meant that, just lift your hand and say, yes, Bill, I prayed that. God bless you. That's right. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. That's right this morning. God bless you back there. Just lift it high so I can see, please. One more. Yes, God bless you. That's right. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. And say, Bill, I prayed that prayer this morning. I asked Jesus to be, yes, God bless you. I see that hand. I just ask him to be the Lord of my life. Last call, please, if that's you, be bold. Put that hand up and then put it right back down before I pray. Anyone else? Those that are listening live, if you prayed that prayer, I'll tell you in just a minute, just hold on. So, Father, we praise you. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is the day you make dead people come back to life. Oh God, this is your day and we celebrate it. Lord God, thank you for those hands. Thank you for new brothers. Thank you for new sisters. Thank you that you are the living Lord. And we love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Now listen carefully. You that lifted your hands, I have a booklet entitled Welcome to the Family of God. Please don't leave. There'll be people down here to pray with you at the altar, or you can meet me over at the Welcome Center in the main lobby, and I'll give you that book myself. Don't leave without it. You that are listening live, if you prayed that prayer, maybe, or you're listening on the radio, you prayed that prayer,